This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stogstill. Published by AJ Creative Writing Coach and Editor, LLC. The Diary of Leah, dictated by Esther. Friday, September the 1st, 1939. The shrill train whistle blows one last time. Mama and Papa shout their goodbyes from the platform. I hear the other kids crying and shouting goodbyes to their parents. Will we see Mama and Papa again? I wonder. Beside me, my sister Leah touches my arm. She says, "Esther, they've disappeared. You can stop waving now." Suddenly, I feel the train move forward as it pulls away, moving faster and faster. Following our usual blessing last night, our parents reminded us again that we were embarking on an adventure to a place called England. They called it an adventure, but I'm not exactly sure if it will be. We can't stay in Berlin because of Hitler and his Nazi soldiers. So our only option is to go away until it's safe to return. It had been a terrible morning for all of us. Try to be brave, I thought. Like Mama said, it's an adventure. Mama cried as she packed and repacked our cases. After saying goodbye, Leah and I were pushed onto the train with the other kids. I held Leah's arm to keep my balance while walking to the back. I felt the floor rumbling under my feet. We're now sitting in the last seat. The wooden train seat is uncomfortable. Leah says all the other cable cars are full. I'm sitting on the end, and every time the train turns a corner, I feel like I'm going to slide onto the floor. The kids around us are talking about how excited they are to arrive in England and to meet the new families waiting for us. I ask Leah if she knows anything about the family we're going to live with, but she doesn't. One girl near us cries for a long time. Singing to her seems to help a little. She's 5 and traveling alone. Leah says we've stopped for water. Some of the kids stand up. I hear groans from some of them. I know how they feel. My back aches, too. Like I said, the train is very uncomfortable. We've been traveling for hours. "Can I stop riding, Esther?" Leah begs. "It's difficult to ride on a moving train, and my hand is stiff." "Anyway, I said you could share my diary with me for the beginning of the journey, not all of it." night, Leah. Friday, September 1. We sleep leaning against each other as the train passes through towns and villages. I should say everyone's asleep except me. Like Mama and Papa said, we're going on an adventure. In the evening, Esther wanted to take her doll, Minna, out of her case. But they're sealed. I told her not to worry. Minna will be safe inside until we arrive. She could play with her then. Some of the others wonder who will be there to meet us when we arrive. Before we left home, Esther said, "It will be strange being with new families, but exciting, too. Will there be other kids? How would the new parents be?" I wondered. One of the girls on the train tried to teach us some English, since we only speak German. We tried to learn words like school, I, eat, and family. We couldn't concentrate because it was extremely noisy. But it is a relief to know one of us speaks English. That will be useful when we arrive in England. Esther again, Monday, September the 4th. After departing from the train, we traveled for 3 days on a boat, which was very cramped. It was an extreme challenge to breathe, and most of us got seasick. The journey was terrifying. All I could hear was water splashing and men's voices shouting in a different language. The boat rocked sometimes. Sometimes it was smooth. But when the sea was rough, the boat felt like it would tip over. Our cases slid across the deck, and we all held on to one another. The wind made awful howling sounds, too. I'm glad we weren't above deck. Finally, the sea calmed, and we were able to move around. We tried to wash ourselves with water from a bucket. We smelled terrible, and our clothes were filthy. When we entered the bathroom, we tried not to breathe because of the smell. At night, I heard kids crying and some calling out for their parents in their sleep. Now, we're on another train to England. I hope things get better for us once we arrive, but we still need to know where we're staying or who will care for us. When we got on the train, some of us were able to change into clean clothes, which was a relief. The whistle is blowing, and it's so loud my ears are ringing. But that means we're finally stopping. Leah, September the 4th, late at night. I still can't believe it. Esther and I are separated. An English family took me first. When the train stopped, we gathered our suitcases and stepped off onto the platform at the train station. The noise and smells hit us like a wave. There were crowds of people, traffic beyond the station, and lots of smoke. I held Esther's hand tighter than usual, afraid she'd be pushed or lost in the crowd. We stopped and lined up with the other children. People stared at us, lined up one by one. Some kids went with families in twos and threes. After what seemed like a long time, it was our turn. "Leah, come with me," a woman ordered, pointing at me. I followed her to a family with two daughters. "These are your new foster parents and their daughters. You will live with them while you're here." I just stared at her blankly. I called Esther's name. I attempted to ask whether my sister would join me, but they didn't answer. I pointed to Esther, but I was led away by the mother of my foster family. The younger girl and her father smiled at me, but the older girl didn't. When I looked back, Esther was crying. I saw two brothers being taken by a man. Esther tried calling me, but I couldn't hear. I started to run after her, but I was pulled back by my foster mother. Her grip was extremely strong. She tore my coat. We rode in their car through the town to a farmhouse. Out my window, I saw a barn, hen house, and outhouse. When I stepped out of the car, my stomach fluttered, and I thought I might throw up. I followed them into the house, but was too exhausted to notice much inside. The mother immediately pointed to the stairs, so I didn't have a lot of time to look around. "I'm sleeping in the attic." I know this isn't what Mama and Papa imagined. The attic is small, with a bed against the wall, hooks for my clothes, and bare walls. I'm writing this by moonlight. Better sleep now. Who knows what tomorrow will be? Tuesday, September 5. This morning, a loud knock woke me. I was dreaming of our family back in Berlin before Hitler's violence. In my dream, I was attending school. Esther and I both learned piano and helped with the housework. Mama and Papa were bakers. We had Shabbat every Friday night, and I spent time riding my bike with friends. The mother entered my room and threw clothes at me. I showed her my suitcase, but she kicked it under the bed and pointed to the clothes she brought. She said something to me in English that I didn't understand. I put on my dress, which is too big, shoes, and a bonnet. I left the nightdress she brought folded on my pillow. I'll wear it tonight. Outside my tiny window, I have a view of a stone wall, and inside is a vegetable garden. To the right, I see hills and tall trees. I said our morning blessing, Moda Ani, praying for Esther, too. More later, diary. I must go downstairs. I stumble down the stairs to the kitchen. My two big shoes almost trip me on each step. "She's ugly," the older girl cries, pointing at me. Whatever she just said must have been mean, because she isn't smiling. She and her sister are wearing dresses, too. But their dresses are pretty and clean. Their kitchen is huge, with a pantry, wood-burning stove, sink, and table in the center of the room. I see a smaller room off the kitchen. Plates of food sit at each place setting at the table. The oldest daughter sits between the father and me when the father comes in and sits down. In one hand, she grasps my hand, and in the other, she holds her father's hand. He begins speaking with his head bowed, eyes closed. "Thank you for bringing Leah to us. May she be useful." Then everybody says, "Amen." He said my name. That I understood, but why? Was that an English prayer? I say our Hebrew meal prayer to myself. "Eat, Leah," the mother says, pointing to my plate. The mother gestures to my chair at the very end of the table, furthest from the stove. I look down at my plate and begin to eat bread, butter, eggs, and potatoes, even though everything's on the same plate. The Torah commands that meat and dairy be separated in everything, from preparing to eating. "She's not eating her bacon, Mom," the older sister says, pointing at my plate. "Jane, leave her alone." The father is eating now. "She's upset. She was separated from her sister, remember?" "That blind girl shouldn't have come," their mother says. "I can't imagine who would have agreed to take her." I wish I understood what everyone is saying. Everyone's staring at me, but I don't say anything. "She'll have to learn English quickly, Sarah. Take her to the garden. Start teaching her English while we clean up." The younger sister nods to me. We go outside, but the older daughter stays inside and helps her mother. In the garden, we pick vegetables, dropping them into a basket. "My name is Sarah." She points to herself, repeating her name. "Sarah," I repeat. I tell her my name and Esther's. She tells me the English names of the vegetables: carrots, onions, potatoes, peas. I repeat them. The newly introduced words sound strange on my tongue. She also teaches me the names of her sister, father, and mother. An hour later, our basket is full, and we return to the house. "She knows them, Mom." The mother points to the vegetables, testing me. I slowly say their names. She learns quickly, that one. I know they're talking about me. I don't know if I should be proud that I learned some words or angry that the mother's making me repeat everything. I understand why she's doing it, but I still feel embarrassed, especially with everyone watching. Can we play now? Sarah asks. No, you can't. Sewing for you three. Mom has all three of us sit in a room off the kitchen, and we sew for what seems like hours. Sarah and I sew buttons on clothes, while Jane and Mom work on a quilt. There's almost no talking. Sarah tries to talk to me, but Mom says, "Be quiet, or you can't listen to children's hour." Whenever Mom talks, her voice rises. She glares at Sarah. Later that night, Dad comes in for dinner. He prays in English again. Ham with potatoes and gravy, chocolate ice cream for dessert. I wish I could tell Mom I can't have everything in one meal like this. Definitely not a kashrut meal. She gestures for me and Jane to clear away the dishes. I start to wash the dairy dishes when Jane throws the ham platter in. With a lot of pointing, I explain that the dishes have to be washed separately. Mom shakes her head no. Jane takes my spot at the sink while Mom supervises. That girl needs to eat and learn to eat English food, Mom comments. I agree, dear. She'll have to learn everything else, too, Dad says. He and Sarah sit at the table, and Dad listens to her read. Can she play with me sometimes? Sarah repeats. Maybe tomorrow. Now finish that page, young lady. Mom and Dad look at me. And not for the first time today. I wish I understood. Finally, everything's put away, and the kitchen is clean. At the table, Sarah and Dad finish reading. Mom commands us to go to bed. I'm exhausted. I'm back in the attic. It's dark now. So I write while the moon shines through my window. I know the names of vegetables and my quote-unquote new family. I have to call them Mom, Dad, Jane, and Sarah. Where is Esther? Is she safe? I finish, undress, then lie down on the unbearably stiff bed. I feel overwhelmed and very homesick. I start to cry. What's that noise? I look up and see Jane sneering at me. Mom wants you now. Shivering, I get out of bed. Mom meets me at the bottom of the stairs. She's been crying, Mom, Jane says. I blink, confused. I wanted to tell you to be grateful from now on. Be grateful for the clothes you wear and the food you eat. You'll be safe with us. Now you may go. I start to leave, but Jane speaks again. Say thank you, Mom, she says. Thank you, Mom. I say each word, hoping I'm pronouncing everything correctly. Even more confused. I look into Mom's cold black eyes once more before heading up the stairs. More to write, back in bed, I think about this strange family. Why was I called downstairs to say thank you? Perhaps now I can sleep. Finally, exhausted, I do. Sunday, September the 10th. Morning. Leah, wake up. I sat up and looked out my tiny window at the dark sky. Sarah entered, dressed in a button dress and hat. Mom says, wear this. Another old dress for me. This one is similar, with buttons down the back and flowers in the front. I'll help you. Sarah buttoned the dress while I slipped on the same shoes as before. Church today, Sarah informed me. I've been here for a few days now, and it's still horrible. I have to eat strange food, learn English, and work on their farm, even during Shabbat. The other day, Dad showed me how to milk their cows. I actually felt sorry for them, being prodded like that. It was kind of disgusting watching the milk flow into the pail. It wouldn't be so bad if everyone treated me nicely. But Jane and Mom don't. Dad answered my question when I asked him what he does before every meal. It's called praying, thanking God for the food we have and being grateful for being alive. So a prayer before every meal. At least I'm used to that. We pray before meals too. And still no word about Esther. Mom claims she doesn't know where she was taken. Well, better go down. Did you hear me, Leah? Mom squeezes my shoulder, making me jump. I almost spill my milk. What did I say? I don't know, I answer. I ask if you know what this is. She hands me a leather book, very faded. I open it and see English writing, which I can't read. What is it? I ask. The Family Bible, Dad says, coming in from the barn. Mum gives him a hurry-up look. He washes, then heads upstairs. He returns wearing a suit, and we walk to church after eating. The church is huge, with wooden benches on both sides of an aisle that stretches from the front to the back. Everyone is dressed in their finest clothes. Some women have flowers on their hats. The songs are strange, played on an instrument I've never seen or heard. Everyone seems to know them, so I pretend to sing along, since Mom and Dad expect it. Then we sit, and Mom hands me the big book. I can't. I point to the words, shaking my head. I know. Just hold it, she whispers. I turn the pages like everyone else. The man standing in front speaks for a long time. I miss our synagogue back home, where I know everyone. The rabbi chants in Hebrew, his voice rising and falling as he reads the Torah. This man's voice drones on and on, like it will never end. But finally, it's over. Leah, say hello to Mrs. Evans, Dad whispers. Hello, Mrs. Evans. I smile. The woman wearing the brown dress doesn't smile back. She remembered. Mom and Dad smile. I'm relieved to have done something right. Do you help your family? Mrs. Evans asked. Yes, I do, every day, I say slowly, pronouncing each word carefully. Very well, Mrs. Evans finally smiles. Then I see her. The girl stands behind Mrs. Evans, staring at the floor. Two English girls beside her have similar expressions to their mothers. We're better than you, their expressions say. Anne! The girl looks up at the sharp word. What do you say to them? Mrs. Evans points at Mum and me. Anne looks confused, then says, Hello, miss. Mum smiles. Then she spots me. Hello, what name? She whispers. Mrs. Evans glares. It's what's your name, ignorant child, she hisses. Try again. She does. This time, she receives Mrs. Evans' approving smile. Her daughters giggle. Better. I look around to see Sarah and Jane talking to their friends. I look for Esther, but don't see her anywhere. I see other children like me, all staying close to their families, not even talking to one another. I start to walk over to a little boy standing by his family, but Dad stops me. "We're leaving, Leah." Leaving means going, I think. So I head toward the door. "Wait, say goodbye first," Mum says. I assume she means to Mrs. Evans and Anne. I say it, and Mom nods. "Very good. You're learning English well." "I wish mine learned quickly, like yours," Mrs. Evans says. "I gave her a proper English name, but she won't speak to me." "Leah was the same when she first arrived," Dad adds. "She wouldn't say a word, but now she speaks without being told." "Yes," Mom agrees. "She'll start learning the alphabet and arithmetic soon." I know they're talking about me, but the words are jumbled. Start what? Finally, we leave. I felt like I was on display while in there, only for their amusement. Sunday lunch is quiet. Mum sits stiffly. Jane and Sarah not even whispering. "Good girl, you ate everything." Dad praises me. I want to explain that Jewish people don't eat meat like that because I can't explain the kashrut laws properly in English. I like everything else on my plate, though. Mum takes me into the parlor where the dreaded pencil and paper sit on a table. That's the room we sew in. I sit without being told, and Mum stands in front of me. She always stands when she instructs us. "A," she says, printing it. My head is spinning as we work through the alphabet. Sarah and Jane talk as they clear the table. But their English is too fast for me to make out more than a word or two. They go to their rooms, Mum ordering them to read. Thump. I jump, and Mom thumps the table again. "Pay attention, child." Her eyes snap whenever she's angry with anyone, especially me. X, Y, Z. She prints, and I slowly copy them. "Better," she says before taking the paper. She examines each letter, making corrections. "Tomorrow we'll review it again and maybe add some numbers." "Mom, it's past dinner time," Jane complains. "Thank you, Jane. I'm relieved she came in when she did. I need a break." "Leah made mistakes," Mom explains, "so dinner is late." "I thought she said I was doing better," I think to myself. It's night. I'm writing everything I can remember in the cold attic. Will Anne and I be friends? "Oh, Mama, thank you for our song. I'll hold on to it until we're together again. and I wish you told me where Esther was going. Do you know where she is? I'll plan to write every day, but if my days are as busy as today, I'll probably be too exhausted. Sunday, September 17. I was right. Mom and Dad keep me busy with writing, arithmetic, and spelling in the evenings, and doing daily chores. Laundry's the worst. But I never did like that chore. Remember, Mama? You scolded us when Esther and I squeezed the soap out of our underclothes and got water everywhere. Mom does the same with Sarah and me, but she's not you. It's still fairly warm outside, so our clothes are pinned on the clothesline. Pinning is the one part about laundry the three of us like. We race to see who can pin the most on one section of the line. I enjoy being with Sarah because she doesn't laugh at my mistakes. We try to play when she returns from school, but Mom won't always allow it. My least favorite chore is feeding the chickens. They fly toward me when they see me coming, and the feeding bucket spills everywhere. One day, Mom watched it happen. I was given extra English lessons that night. "That'll teach you not to waste again," she shouted. Anyway, Sarah told me the chickens' names. She said Mom's favorite is Henrietta. Jane named her when she was younger. Mom promises she'll never eat her. The lesson taught me that there's more than one word for fast. Speaking English is harder than I realized. I wish there were fewer words that are spelled the same but have different meanings. For example, the word watch means something you wear on your wrist to tell time, and watch also means looking at someone while they're doing something, like watch me. Or the word pay means buying something with money, or pay, as in pay attention. Mom says that to me often. Today after church, I learned that today is called Sunday, and tomorrow is called Monday. And the strange instrument is an organ. No sign of Anne this morning. I found out what Jane and Sarah were reading last week. Their Bible. Mom and Dad want me to read it too. That's why Mom and I are reading Genesis. "This will help you learn our Bible," Mom says. I know. I just wrote English words. Back to writing in German. I managed to play with Sarah yesterday. Dad gave permission while Mom was out. It was dolls, of course. Her room has a doll's corner with little dishes, clothes, and a dollhouse. They all have names, too. When we play, sadly, I think about how Esther would really like her. I also hate bathing here. I'm always made to go last, so there's no hot water left. There isn't much soap left either. The English people have a man in power, Winston Churchill, whose speeches talk about being against Hitler. My foster family listens to his speeches on the radio. Sarah says sometimes he speaks from London. Dad told me that on September 3rd, Britain declared war on Germany. Sarah explained that Children's Hour is a radio program for kids with talking animals and stories. We listen to that as well. English food tastes awful, at least the things in cans. I've only been to the local shops once, and lots of things are sold there in tins, like fruit and salmon. I'm glad my family grows their own vegetables. I can't believe I just wrote my family. The only people I like here are Dad and Sarah. Jane is bossy, like Mum. She sometimes orders Sarah or me to do chores she doesn't want to do. Dad heard her last night and made her do her chore. I heard her complain to Mum, but I couldn't hear how Mum answered. Hopefully, Esther and I will return home when this is finished, if I can find her. Home. What will it be like? Will you be there? Will our neighbors? The nights when Germany was showered with broken glass, you and Papa whispered about something. I know now you were talking about sending us away. I hope we all have homes to return to. Dad told me about the Prime Minister here, Neville Chamberlain. A few years ago, he met with Hitler 3 times to try to prevent Britain from entering war with Germany. Those meetings were not successful. As I said, Britain's involved now. If only I could find Esther. Whenever I ask, no one knows where she is. If anyone knows anything, they're not telling me. I know this diary entry is all over the place, but this week's been chaotic. One last thing, Mama. I'm not sure why I didn't think of this before. I'll write you a letter. I doubt you'll be reading this diary anytime soon. Now I'm all caught up. I need sleep. Jane says I have a busy day tomorrow. Monday, September the 18th, after dinner. I should have suspected something was strange this morning when Jane gave me a new dress to wear. No secondhand dress this time. It was a new dress. In fact, everything I wore today was brand new. I discovered why at breakfast. School today, Mum announced cheerfully. Mouth open, I stared at her, shocked. I haven't been to school since Hitler's Nazis took over, with their signs saying where we could and couldn't enter. They took away our jobs, schools, and our homes. Before Hitler gained Nazis, he'd speak on the radio about his hatred of anyone not pure German. Now the Nazis are burning homes of anyone who isn't pure by their standards. Nazis even have their own symbol, a swastika, on their uniforms and banners. I explained to Esther it looked like a cross with sharp pins coming out of it. Anyway, I was terrified and had butterflies in my stomach as we walked to school, arriving just as the bell rang. The schoolhouse was divided into two rooms by a curtain, younger children on the left and older students on the right. I recognized the other evacuees. We sat with the younger ones. Our teacher, Miss Simmons, said that she wanted to keep an eye on us and check our progress. I think that means she wants to see how we're doing. Those English lessons my family gave me proved to be helpful. By the end of today, she told me I did well for a beginner. She looked overwhelmed, trying to teach the English kids, plus us, the evacuees. I actually felt sorry for Miss. When she asked if I wrote in a diary, in English, I lied. I don't have a diary. She told us to start one and to show them to her every Friday. Some can write a little English. Others are learning the alphabet. Anne wasn't there. Perhaps she'll come tomorrow. At dinner, Mom and Dad questioned me about school. Did you enjoy your lunch? Forcing a smile, I said yes. Actually, I hated the meat, but the bread and cheese were delicious. I must try to explain what Kashrut food is. What did Miss Simmons give you for homework? The longer the sentences, the more I must concentrate on their meaning. When I told Mom about my English diary, she thought it was a brilliant idea. Sarah offered to help. Mom scowled. We'll start after dinner. Dad wanted to know the names of my friends. I told him I sat next to a girl named Helen, and there were other German kids there. When I inquired about Anne, he said Mrs. Evans' children were taught at home. That family doesn't speak much except in church. When dinner was over, dishes were done, and the kitchen cleaned. Mom and I worked on my English diary. I had to write about my good family, church, and how grateful I am to be in England. Mostly lies, of course. I thought I'd be able to invent things, but so far, with Mom watching, I couldn't. Now I'm caught up. Staring up at the moonlight, I write what I please. I might have to write a false diary in English, but no one can prevent me from keeping this diary in German. Friday, September 22nd, night. I think Miss suspects something. When she read my diary, she asked, "Did you write this yourself?" "Yes," I answered. "Is this how you really feel, Leah?" I nodded, but I could see she didn't believe me. She gave us our spelling test, and I missed the word worry. Two R's, not one. So far, school is interesting. I enjoy writing, counting to 20 in English, and getting acquainted with the other German kids. A 6-year-old named Daniel lives with another English family in town. He doesn't say much, but Miss is patient with him. She helps him when she's not teaching other lessons. His big eyes are sad, and he seems frightened of loud noises. He hasn't smiled or laughed so far. Another is a little girl named Eva, who doesn't say much either, but seems content. If I wasn't with the other girls at recess, I'd say hello. Jane and Sarah make sure I'm always with them. Other evacuees seem to stick with their siblings, if they have any. We play hopscotch, tag, and sometimes jump rope. Like at home, games are simple to learn. We don't need to speak English. On Tuesday, Miss called on me to read. "Face the class and speak clearly." I was terrified. Wiping my hands on my blouse, I thought to myself, what if I mess up? One of the girls whispered to her friend, and they giggled. When I finished, Miss addressed the class. "I hope you won't be as rude when it's your friend standing here." I misread a couple of sentences, but Miss said, "It's okay, you're learning." Another boy named Laurent went next. He made mistakes too. Helen's brother Andrew pulled Eva's hair during recess. He was assigned extra arithmetic as a punishment. The food is becoming bearable. I miss your kugel and dumplings, Mama. Esther and I used to help by rolling and filling them. I also miss making Passover cookies. When I tried to explain how to prepare kashrut, Laurent explained it's kosher in English, food, Mom scowled. She replied, "We're not Jewish, and you will eat like us and get used to our food." Mom and Dad insist we all black out the windows every night. That means covering all the windows so the enemy can't find us. Our neighbors do the same. I've written your letter. I'll try and post it on my own. Mom won't try and steal it. She can't read it anyway, but I'm not taking any chances. I hope it reaches you.